Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Guarded again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line!
Yes! It's over! The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. We are thrilled to be joined by Jordan Taylor a little bit later in the show. That's Michael Jordan Taylor, as Gus Johnson once called him. I had to inform these two youngins of the impressive game that Jordan Taylor has.
I thought you were about to say Gus Johnson. I was like, hang on a minute. He's been around.
No. Jordan Taylor.
I met him.
A baller that you'll get a chance to meet here a little bit later. Before we get into the show as far as talking about Badger football, we just want to address as a show the comments from Chris McIntosh. He was quoted, I believe, in the Wisconsin State Journal.
Yes, Badger Extra, I think, extension of it.
Yes.
Yeah, their Badger coverage.
He was asked about allegations of mistreatment from former players on the women's basketball side of things. He said some claims lack full context or are simply false. And I would say whoever is managing Chris McIntosh's PR needs to be better. Because if I'm Chris McIntosh, I'm not making statements on this. And the statement, if it was going to be one, we do a little bit on Jim Matt and Molly, Big J Journalism. I like to give people tips. Chris, just say these allegations are very seriously and we're treating them accordingly.
Yep, that's it. That's all you have to do in this situation.
Yeah, it is a weird stance for him to take publicly. Because if what he's saying is true, then it'll come out.
I know... What was it? It was in response to what Barry had said after the spoiled comments, and then he talked to, I believe, Jim Polzine, too, who we've had on the Jump Around. Respect all the work that he's done. And what Barry had said, too, is it just goes back to this situation of Chris McIntosh of you don't want, when the first thing people talk about your athletics and your athletics programs is that you are the center of, not center of attention, but center of conversation, center like the what everybody's talking about. You want everybody, when they think of the University of Wisconsin, when they think about not just football, not just basketball, but your program as a whole, all of your athletics, your teams and your programs and everything a part of that should be the focal point, should be the conversations, not, all right, what's Chris McIntosh up to? What's Chris McIntosh doing? What's he saying this time?
All right, so speaking of the Barry Alvarez show, I want to use that as a jumping off point to get into Luke Fickell and the way Badger fans feel about him, and maybe the donor community, the NIL community, feels about Luke Fickell. And Barry Alvarez on his show talked about pressing flesh and getting out there and meeting the community and the importance of that.
We're trying to create interest, and then once we had interest, then you, whatever you're looking for, you had an avenue to get to a lot of people about what you wanted and tell your story and be press some flesh with a lot of fans, so they know you personally. They know the head coach. They know the assistant coaches. Our guy, you just can't sit back and say we need this, we need that, we need that. Get out in the state and let the people meet you and sell the program. Know who you are, and this state will embrace. They will embrace you. They did.
So I want to ask both you, Riley Yauch, behind the glass, and Pablo Iglesias, and if you're watching on the ESPN Madison or ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream, you can chime in on that as well. I want to ask you, does Luke Fickell still feel like an outsider?
To this, if he's not making, well, he's making the recruiting visits, but that is just a fraction of the visits that you need to be making. You need to be making more of the public visits. You need to be going out there. There were a few where Luke Fickell made the Milwaukee stops when he had just gotten hired. That was a big thing. I remember that being the first event right from the get-go. But you need to do more. You need to get out into this community. Especially, again, Barry said it perfectly. You can't just be sitting in the office or even cold calling saying we need this, we need that to help the program succeed. You got to get out there. If you really want your program, and I'm not saying that this is just Luke Fickell. This, from what Brad Nortman had said, too, earlier this week on KBN, was that it feels like that there's a disconnect across the board, too. Is the staff really getting out there? Are they a part of these visits, too? Because even though it's very important for Luke Fickell to get out there, it's just as important for people to get to know the staff, too. To get to know, let's say, the position coaches. Let's say, like, you're a wide receiver and you're getting recorded. It's just as important. Is it Jordan Reed, I believe, is the wide receiver coach? Regardless, if that's your specific position, you should get to know that guy very closely, too, because you're going to be working with him on top of working with Luke Fickell and developing as a person, as a player. So I think getting out there is so important, especially, too, with the NIL side. You got to get donors and you got to figure out like what's going to be right for them. That's where I feel like getting out there is so important right now.
Okay, and I don't disagree on any of that. And Riley, you can hop in, and then Pablo, you can try to answer it again. Like, I want to, but does he feel like an outsider?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me as a resident in Madison, Wisconsin, he doesn't totally feel like an outsider. But I've seen him enough around. He has kids at Edgewood where I feel like in Madison, he's not a total outsider. However, I know a lot of people from small town Wisconsin, and they cannot relate to this guy at all. He feels like an Ohio, like a big city kind of guy. He pronounces Wisconsin, Wisconsin. He doesn't seem like one of us. And if you, like one of us in the sense that Wisconsin is more than just Madison and Milwaukee. You have a wide contingent of people who live outside of cities in rural areas who want someone who feels down to earth, someone who can understand the grind. And I feel like Fickell could be that kind of guy. I mean, he's a wrestler. He clearly values hard work. But like Barry said, like he doesn't go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, it seems. He doesn't go up to Manitowish Waters or over to Monroe. He doesn't seem like a kind of guy who would really fit in those communities. And if you can't fit in those communities, you're not really a Wisconsin guy. I'm sorry.
Brett Roll chimes in on ESPN Madison's YouTube stream or ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube stream as well as how you can watch the show. Brett Roll chimes in, if Luke feels like an outsider, it's on him to make the inroads with people. There has to be people within the department who Luke could use as a resource to network off of. Michael Glenn, 7172, chimes in. He has to be a brand ambassador. The fact that he is not recruiting in the state and developing relationships with coaches is malpractice. So, Pablo, Luke Fickell, you agree? Feels like an outsider?
Yeah, it feels like an outsider right now. I want to see him try a little bit more in terms of, again, connecting with, as Riley said, the smaller towns of Wisconsin. And it's like, yes, you want to get prime talent no matter where it's at, and that's awesome. But also, what has made Wisconsin, Wisconsin, or Wisconsin, as we want to say it like that, but it's also finding that true bread and butter. It's also finding, like, who truly knows, like, what Wisconsin is? What that element of Wisconsin football is, and that's just what's felt like it's been lost. Like, it's just plug and play, get some players here. And not a knock on the players that have come in here necessarily, but more so of just the strategy of it. It's if you're just completely jumping away from who you are and trying to completely overhaul and completely revamp and not forgetting, like, your roots, or forgetting your roots, rather, then that's the problem here. So I do feel like right now that as Riley said too, and I agree. Good guy trying to do what he can to help this program, but I do think, like, right now, what has he truly shown to show that he is connecting with Wisconsin other than the fact, hey, raise your arms up, bring your booze at me, what was it at halftime against Ohio State?
After the game.
Okay, like, all right. Like, is that your way of trying to connect and show that, like, you care on a different level too? Like, it's more than just wins and losses and program success. Like, people want to buy in to Wisconsin because it's Wisconsin too, man.
So I want to get to the next thing here, NIL versus coaching. Which ties into Fick feeling like an outsider as Brett chimes back in. Jim, you follow the Chiefs, thinks he's going to Grantsburg to find the next Leo Chanel. That's a great point. I think it ties into the NIL versus coaching discussion I want to have here, because we did ask this on Jim, Matt, and Molly, and I want to ask it here as well. Is Badger football, is the problem with Badger football the coaching, or is it the NIL? And NIL is lots of layers. Like, are they raising money correctly? Are they writing contracts correctly? How much does this Xavier Lucas lawsuit, does that make them look petty? Is that affecting things? Does the admin know how to spread this money out? Is the admin having the right staff in place? Does the admin have the right, you know, sports that are outside of football and basketball in place? Do they have their priorities in place? There's a million ways to look at the NIL. But starting with the first part there, the question from Brett, that's part of the NIL problem, is that they need to find the Chanels of the world in Wisconsin and across the, you know, the Tauschers, the Jim Leonard, all these sort of people in Wisconsin that maybe they're not walk-ons anymore, but instead of costing you a couple hundred thousand dollars, maybe you get the guy who can be a good player for you, even a Zach Bond type. Because we talked about this before. Wisconsin can produce linemen, and thanks to Dave Aranda, all those running backs and quarterbacks that play high school football in Wisconsin that aren't the athletes to be running backs and quarterbacks in college are the perfect linebackers in a 3-4 or even Mike Tressel's defense. So that's what the Badgers continue to have to find here in the state, is these unpolished gems that you can turn a 3-star guy that might not cost you a lot of money to, one, become a good player, but more importantly with this, establish the culture that the Badgers don't have, because they're never going to compete at the highest level. They didn't do it before as far as spending money on the program and on the facilities and all that kind of stuff, but they had great coaching and a great culture, and they had the right players to get things done. So if they're going to get back to Badger football, which is the first step, is be entertaining, is you got to find the guys in Wisconsin and nearby who will build that culture for you, which goes back to Luke Fickell showing up at high schools and doing the due diligence to find out who these players are, because they don't have to be from Wisconsin. Just go ask Chris Orr. But regardless, you need the culture builders, the lower star guys, to come in here and be here for a long time and want to be a Badger, want to graduate as a Badger, and want to represent the W, and then add in some name and liking players. Like, this roster needs to have a good, ideally 50% of it is just Badger lifers. And then the other 50%, if you need to change that out, fine. But if you have the Badger leaders in here, the Badger culture guys, that will establish the culture that every player coming in understands the standard is the standard. And Ben Brust will tell you that with Bo Ryan, when things went a little bit off the rails at the back end of it, it was because he wasn't holding the younger guys to the exact same standard he held the older guys to, and so then things got a little bit loose on the back end, and Greg Gardner came in as standard is the standard. So you can't let that slip, but the most important people to keep it are the players who learn it from the coach. So yeah. If I'm going to answer this question, I'm going to say it's still coaching, because if they had proper coaching, they still should be better than they are. And I understand the quarterback's hurt, but with good coaching, this team would look more entertaining, more disciplined, and look more like a peer of Iowa instead of one of the worst teams in all of Power Four college football.
I'll tell you, I thought at first that I was going to go the NIL side, but no, it's more thinking about this. You could pump all the money you want. You could put everything in there. You could get the richest donors possible, the richest alumni, and even more supporters of Wisconsin football and Wisconsin athletics. You could pump all the money that you want in here, and that would be great. But money doesn't solve every single problem here. What feels like the core root of this problem is, to your point, the culture feels like it is fractured. It feels like it's lost. It feels like it's, where are we at right now with Wisconsin football? We do not understand exactly, again, when it's being questioned in Luke Fickell's third year, whether it's on himself, it's on the players, it's even the fan base, across the board, if we are questioning, what is the identity of this team? What are they still, what are they? I always knew, tough, ground and pound, just this hard-nosed team, just this gritty team, a gritty effort. Heck, when we were talking about like how the Grit Factory, like a little bit, I was having a conversation of how the Grit Factory was born with Colin Wilder around this time. It was based off a Halloween costume. I'm not saying that you have to figure out what your culture is every single time based off of a Halloween costume, but it's okay to think outside of the box and figure out what your culture is. So as much as I feel like that, yes, NIL right now, and as Chris McIntosh addressed in this letter, We need some help. We need somebody to jump in. I feel like that it's in that letter too. It's either of you guys. I think you should leave fans from Tim Robinson real quick. Netflix show. Hilarious.
I know what meme you're going to reference here.
Yes, it is exactly the hot dog car crashing into the building. And it's the guy in the hot dog suit saying, oh, who crashed this car? We got to find who this guy was. We got to find out who did this. And we're going to get to the bottom of this. That is what the letter that Chris McIntosh put out there saying that, okay, we got to figure out what the core root is. You are the core root, my friend. That is what's happening. But going back to this whole thing, coaching is the top thing I think that needs to be fixed. If I were to choose one or the other of NIL, yes, spend away or do what you can to help support this program. But you do need to spend smart as well. But if you have a fractured and a broken culture, coaching, I think, is going to win at the end of the day, and you got to figure out what that problem is.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to put all the blame on Chris McIntosh and not spending enough money, I also think it's coaching. Because you can look at a program like Texas Tech. They are throwing every possible dollar you can at their football program, and they might not win the Big 12. So money clearly does not solve any issue, every single issue. And I think you know how you get more money to build your program is to put a competitive product on the field, put something together that people want to watch, and that comes down to coaching. I understand there are a lot of injuries, and I think that may be something we overlook. But still, even with all the injuries to the offensive line, all the injuries at quarterback, you think that this team should at least be middle of the pack in the Big Ten if the coaching was where we wanted it to be.
Yep.
Not one of the worst teams in the Power Four, as you said, Jim, with the worst offense in the Power Four outside of maybe North Carolina, depending on how they did in their last game. And I think, again, there are some guys that could be those foundational pieces. I'm obviously biased. I love Cooper Catalano. He rocks. But he's from Germantown, Wisconsin. He's the state's leading tackler. He's wanted to be a Badger his whole life, and they brought him in. He actually looked up to Leo Chanel as one of his heroes. And that's the kind of guy. He led the team in tackles last week. That's the kind of guy you can build a program around and build a contender into. Like, bring Wisconsin football back to what it was around those kind of guys. And then you need to bring in the I don't want to say mercenaries, but the NIL guys that fit the bill that are more like John Tanjays than AJ Storrs, who can really get into the culture. But to buy into a culture, you need to establish a culture, and Fickell hasn't done that yet, and that's on coaching. So I still think coaching is the bigger answer here.
Also big recruit, too, or walk-on recruit. I think he's a Wanakee quarterback. He's going to be moving
McCoy
into fullback.
Smith, McCoy
Smith.
Yep.
So that is a local example, hyper-local example. Guy that's 20 minutes away, a 20-minute drive, and that's a local example of staying close to your roots. Like, he's a walk-on. He's switching positions. He's a QB in high school, but switch him up. They had the conversations. Why don't we try you out at fullback? There's another kid from Lodi, Mason Lane. I believe he was like an athlete. He was a safety, also was a quarterback too. But now I think he's in the running back room, basically committed as an athlete. So those are the small steps. Now, is that the step that you need to do from here on out the rest of the way and solely build your roster on that? No. But make sure you don't lose that essence of it either. It's a new era. Joe Thomas is addressed too. Like, that's what Wisconsin has always been known before, like NIL and transfer portal changed things up a little bit, but that is still what Wisconsin has always been known for, at least staying true to that walk-on culture. Even if you are the only school that does it, it's okay to still have a portion of that. You don't have to leave that part of the pie out there just because like nobody else is eating it. If you like that pie, eat that pie.
Nobody likes the pie that the Badgers are serving every single Saturday.
Cow pie?
Yeah, cow pie could be one way to describe it. Yeah, the Badgers stink. They're not fun to watch. They haven't scored a touchdown in two whole games, almost three whole games. They have 20 points in Big Ten play. They're going up against a juggernaut in Oregon, and Dante Moore might have 500 total yards. I don't know. It's going to be disgusting. They also have, when I looked at Mel Kiper's draft board, they have a couple players on defense that are in the top 25, and Dante Moore is at the top of it. So you're looking at a Badgers team where I'm shocked the scouts are complaining about not being able to get into Badger practice, and I'm shocked they're showing up. And so and then you got another team where they're loaded up with top 25 talent. And that's just the guys that projected to go in the draft. There could be other players in that team that are younger that just can't go into the draft yet. So Oregon's loaded. And at this point, it's literally, unless Oregon starts playing backups or doesn't care as much, the Badgers, I don't think, score a touchdown again. And I'm not watching it live. I mean, I'm not going to avoid it, but my oldest daughter had a great, you know, conferences. She wants to go out to Culver's. So we're going to go out there. We're going to get some dinner.
Heck yeah. All right.
And I'm not going to work around the game for that. It's around dinner time that we'll go get to dinner. So we'll get some dinner. We'll get some concrete mixers. We'll enjoy our time there. And then we'll go home. And then maybe while I'm getting the girls ready for bed, I'll have the phone on. You know, I got a YouTube TV. I'll watch the game on there a little bit. And then I'm assuming it'll be a blowout. And then at some point when it's 50-0 at halftime, I'll just be like, I'll just watch it Sunday night, because I usually watch Backpacker games Sunday nights for work, and I take my notes then, and that's probably how I'll watch the Badgers. Usually I watch the Badgers live because I enjoy it. But in this case, it's kind of turned into work for me, so I'm not gonna adjust my Saturday for work. I'm going to adjust my Saturday to be for family, and then I'll catch up on the game Sunday to talk about it on Monday.
I will tell you this. Here's what my Saturday entails. I'm waking up super early in the morning. I probably say give or take about 6 a.m., probably after a night at a – shout out to our Prep Mania squad, too. Level one, we got Pewaukee and Sauk Prairie, so I'll probably be helping out with our Prep Mania squad after a late night. Getting up super early, going to be golfing with my dad. I believe the low is going to be somewhere around 35 degrees, and our tee time's at 8 a.m. I am way more excited to freeze out there, and that is like the highlight of my Saturday, is spending time with my family. Then it's like, okay, we'll watch Wisconsin game, we'll get in front of a TV. That is the highlight of where I'd just rather be outside, freeze my butt off, and play the game that I just truly enjoy. Don't get me wrong, but still, in those elements, it's still like, even if you love that game, it's still a tough one. It's still tough to just go through. So that is what my Saturday entails, and it's just like, where is the excitement? Where is the juice? We talked about this on the post game last week, Riley. Is this when Wisconsin has a home game almost? Are people just going to be more excited to from the roadside to come in and get to see Madison, Wisconsin, and at least it's good PR for the city itself and the campus and the tailgate experience in Camp Randall, even though you don't have Wisconsin fans packing your stadium? It just feels like it's concerning from that element of it, too, where the excitement on Saturdays are gone. The excitement on Saturdays just do not feel like that they're there anymore. It doesn't feel like that. Again, it's like we said it right after the Maryland loss. If they don't win this game, the season's over. And lo and behold, it feels like that the season's over. It's something that's happening. You can watch it, but there's not a lot of juice to it.
Well, before we get to Jordan Taylor, we got to get to the Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
It is, in fact, time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And let's start with college football as a whole. Talking about the Badgers can be a little depressing. So talking about something else for a change, some teams that are actually good, starting with, oh, whoops, need to get this one. Here we go. A tweet from Todd Furman. College football parity is great until we get USF versus Georgia Tech in the first round and nobody watches. Tell me I'm wrong and tell me I'm an elitist, but the ratings won't lie. This sparked a giant debate amongst people on Twitter freaking out at this guy, and I absolutely despise this take. I think USF versus Georgia Tech rocks and is awesome for college football, but apparently that's not how everyone feels. So would you watch a USF Georgia Tech college football playoff game?
Why the hell not? If it's a college football playoff, or like that's where we're at, first round, why the hell not? I'm just always for it. Vibes are just high no matter what. People want to watch just college football playoff. I'm always for it. Doesn't matter the matchup. You never know. It's it could feel like it has that March Madness element to it as well. Never know who's going to upset who. I'm just happy that we just keep getting more and more football later in the year and the season extends. That's what I'm grateful for.
I think, what is it, the college football sickos is
yes.
The term. So I get it. The college football sickos will watch this game. And you're going to know, and if you're someone who's invested in college football, so what Todd is saying is not a problem with the college football playoff and these teams playing. It's a problem with NIL. Because it's cool these teams are popping off and it's great and they're there, but it's also, it's a good test case. There's no brand equity for those programs outside of their place, so like, will more than the diehards watch it? That's an interesting question. I still think the answer is going to be yes, It's still sports. It's still competitive sports. Mm-hmm. People are still going to be drawn in. I don't think it's going to be some sort of dud. I mean, could it pull the ratings of, like, a Brewers versus Pirates playoff game, which is good, but not Yankees-Red Sox? Okay, but that's still going to pull massive numbers. And so I think he's being a little bit, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. The Sickos are going to be dialed in and love it, and it does create a larger audience of people from those programs that might not want to watch. And I think in the long run, it'll all come out in the wash, because college football, either you love it or you don't.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of college football, that we could potentially get a South Florida-Georgia Tech playoff game. I think that rocks. Now, transitioning to basketball before we get to Jordan Taylor, it seems like Wisconsin's just getting disrespected every year. This is a Badger account, Dr. Marte, responding to a tier list put out by the College Basketball Report that puts Wisconsin in Tier 4 of the Big Ten fringe tournament teams. Wisconsin and Michigan State in this tier, the only Big Ten teams ranked to start the season outside of Purdue. I don't understand this. Like, why is Wisconsin continuously disrespected? Greg Gard seems to continuously prove the pundits wrong year in and year out. I don't get it, but they got to be higher than a fringe tournament team.
Yes, 100%. The only year that they, in recent history, from what I can remember, that they underperformed was a year that they went into the NIT tournament and almost played for that Final Four spot there. But it's... I tweeted this out too. This is 100% rage bait, and you cannot convince me otherwise. I'm so excited for this team. There is a lot to prove. They have 9 newcomers coming in. No team ever really wants to face that challenge, but talking with everybody one-on-one, they want that challenge. The coaching staff is excited. They were very strategic when it came down to putting this roster together. I love the conversations that I had. Now, yes, you do have to go onto the court and show exactly what you're made of, but I feel very confident in terms of how this team is going to grow together. And heck, you know what? Let's put it out there. They might be just a little bit better than last year's team, because last year's team was a cool, not Cinderella run, but they shocked us.
It was a Cinderella run. I mean, when they didn't make a run in the tournament, but what they did was Cinderella.
Yeah, the regular season, no one expected them to be that good.
Fair enough, then. Yeah. And that's where I stand. This team's going to be fun, and I think they could be poised for a lot more success than last season's team, which was very, very fun to watch. Don't get me wrong.
Around the regular season, I think we all just need to say in Greg Gard we trust. He has turned out year in and year out a team that competes in the regular season and usually exceeds expectations. So making the tournament, to me, I know they had the little break, feels like a given right now, and I think we got to give Greg Gard that pass. So I'd bump him up into the tier with Washington and Ohio State. The Ducks, I'm too old to be able to see what that tier says there, but I'd bump them into the tier USC, Iowa, Oregon, Ohio State, Washington, which is one tier up.
They're a tournament team. They are definitely a tournament team. I don't understand why there's a doubt there.
I get put them behind Purdue, Michigan, UCLA, and Illinois. That's fine.
Yep, that's totally fair. Totally fair. But I don't think a single team in Tier 3 is ranked, and Michigan State and Wisconsin are. So I just think that's ridiculous. But that is it for the Wisconsin Twitter portal.
All right, Jordan Taylor is coming up next. Steinhoffels is celebrating 91 years of bringing style, comfort, and quality to Wisconsin homes. As a 100% employee-owned company, you always get honest service with no high-pressure sales. Find your perfect night's sleep with Steinhoffels. Discover your sleep system and let their decorating solutions experts help you design every room in your home. From the latest trends to trusted quality, Steinhoffels has everything you need to make your space feel like you. Celebrate 91 years of Steinhoffels. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Jordan Taylor, next.
Is your home ready for the holidays? Steinhoffels has stylish and functional looks guaranteed to impress your guests, like this expandable dining table perfect for holiday dinner. Give overnight guests the gift of comfort with a memory foam sleeper sectional. Right now, take 10% off store-wide or use Steinhoffels' 36-month 0% financing to make your holidays a little brighter. Steinhoffels is Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Jordan Taylor, one of the best Badgers I've seen play basketball, and I've got a chance to see a lot of them. And Jordan can kind of put his own place in history for Badger basketball, but should be right up there with the Sam Deckers and Frank Kaminsky, Ben Brust of the world. Because Jordan Taylor with those teams with John Luehr and Keaton Ankerville, they could ball. And Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today on the Jump Around. We're not hearing Jordan right there, so hopefully we'll get hear him in a second. But while we wait for Jordan, there was, I'm trying to remember the game, but there was a famous call from Gus Johnson that was Michael Jordan Taylor. And
see, so
that was a heck of a play there from Jordan Taylor. And he has a heck of a resume with the Badger basketball team. Two-time All-Big Ten player, consensus second-team All-American in 2011. Broke the school record for three-pointers in a tournament game. Broke the NCAA record for turnover assist ratio. The NCAA record. So that's why...
That's like, nasty, man.
I'm not trying to be Stephen A. Smith here. I think we have Jordan Taylor now, but you can make a case that Jordan Taylor might be the best. If you're putting together over the last 30 years the point guard for that team, I think Jordan Taylor's got a strong case to be the point guard of the last 30 years of Badger basketball. You're putting together a team there. So I don't see Jordan on the screen, but there he is. So, Jordan, do you hear us now?
I can hear you. Can you
awesome.
Hear me?
We got you.
We got you.
We were just giving you your flowers while we're waiting for your mic to get turned on. So that was a good strategic move by you. That was good.
Great play call. Great draw.
Yeah. That assist to turnover ratio stays high. It stays high.
You got to take care of that pill.
Yeah. Jordan, first, tell us what you're up to, because you got some exciting news about getting into media a little bit here, and that's why I wanted to chat with you, and then we'll talk about the glory days and also what's going on with Badger basketball currently. But what are you up to recently?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough to be working at Big Ten Network this upcoming year again, and then hopefully get some sign a contract with NBC as well. So I will be there, and then FS1, so maybe a little bit of Big East. And then I've started some entrepreneurial things, building what we call an athlete intelligence ecosystem. So I have a huge passion for paying it forward, as most athletes do. And I think right now, especially in the climate, I think athletes need help kind of evaluating decisions. Yeah. So putting together some things technology-wise to help with that process.
Jordan, before we dive into basketball and more of that side, I want to ask, too, that passion behind it. What was it that drove you to pursue that? You mentioned that this is something that you've always been passionate about. Where did it start?
Oh, man. I think with my own situation, I heard you guys there mention my junior year, and going through that process, it's just, you know, playing basketball, you're in this kind of goldfish tank is the analogy I use. And then you look around at some point where you get close to what you want, and there's a lot of sharks. And you don't know exactly how to swim in shark infested waters. And you're 18, 19, 20 years old. And the people who are supposed to be helping you are typically some of those sharks. So I think that's the passion for it. That's how I see, you know, coaching is beautiful. Media is beautiful. I'm excited about that. But I think my own experience, and now with, you know, more and more money in the space than ever, I think it's just going to get nastier. So definitely want people, the families and athletes, to avoid that.
Jordan, you had a heck of a run at Wisconsin, obviously under Bo Ryan. Greg Gard was there as well. What is there a game that stood out for you at the Kohl Center where you're like, this is the game when I, you know, fire up Glory Days from Bruce Springsteen and I want to think about my time at Wisconsin? This is the game that runs through my head.
Well, first of all, I have no idea what that song is, so I don't know about
it. You got some homework now.
That was an old man cut for
me. I got some homework.
Yeah.
Jim, you've always had good taste, so I believe it's a great song.
I appreciate it, yeah.
But no, I think, I mean, obviously the Ohio State one is easy, of course. But for me, honestly, it was the Duke one my sophomore year where I think I had like 6 points. But that was the first time I think I got to participate in high-level basketball. They won the national championship that year. Trayvon was crazy at like 25, so rushed the court. I had a moment there where I got a steal late in the game, and then I think like John Shire back tapped it after the steal, went to Andre Dawkins for a three. And I'll never forget going out that night. Someone said, you went from hero to zero real fast. So that we're both great and humbling at the same time. So, but many games.
Jordan, your background too, being Mr. Basketball of Minnesota too. I know that the border battle in any sport in Wisconsin is always a big one too. So when you made that decision to even though you were Minnesota's Mr. Basketball, come to Wisconsin, did you catch a little bit of heat there? What was the decision behind that to make that bold move?
Oh, that was easy. That was easy. Dan Munson was the coach when I was getting recruited. Respect, no disrespect to Coach Munson, but you know, again, it goes back to kind of my passion. Now, when I made the decision, I think my dad put together he's a finance guy, so a pseudo spreadsheet on a whiteboard of, hey, this is going to be your opportunity. Here's who's here now. and, you know, Trayvon's going to be a senior when you're a sophomore, blah, 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 blah. And the ultimate thing was Coach Ryan wasn't going anywhere. Like, he's rooted to Wisconsin. I heard you guys talking about the culture of Wisconsin. That was very strong at the time. And Coach Gard, who, you know, I'm like Caroline Leavitt is to Donald Trump for me to Coach Gard. I'm a lawyer. I won't say anything bad about him. He's just the most genuine dude. So it was an easy decision. Tubby came late and tried to get in there, but it was easy.
So I want to ask you, there's a lot more questions I want to ask. You got a lot of great teammates, but you did overlap with one of our teammates here at ESPN Wisconsin and Ben Bruss. So what was a young Ben Bruss like when he showed up? Because, you know, he's interesting now. I couldn't imagine him at 18, 19 years old.
Not much different, to be honest. Full of it, man. Ben's full of it. No, Ben's my guy. I love Ben's the best dude. Most genuine, high energy, always really cares about people and is not afraid to speak his mind, which is what I love about Ben. We used to, me and Ben actually bonded I think it was my junior or senior year. He used to get done with, I didn't have many classes. So we would come back from practice and we played Mario Kart from like 4 until 11 PM. So it's a long, long lasting rivalry. It became a whole thing even after I left. I know Frank and those guys. I saw you guys put up the tier one, tier two, tier three. We have rankings for Mario Kart players for the guys. So Ben is Ben's salt of the earth, dude. And, you know, it's always great to see him. I got to go to his bachelor party this year, too. So great.
So two quick things. Where did Ben rank on that chart? And where did you rank on those tiers?
I want to lie to you and hate and say Ben was last, but he was at the top. Ben, Ben and Josh Gasser were tier 1A, as we call it. I was 1B. Okay. And then Dan Fahey, Duye, Frank, they were like tier 2, tier 3. They were weak.
And then you're a Vikings fan, right? Is that correct? Yeah.
I was, man. I don't know anymore.
So he's a free agent now?
Well, the reason why I ask – well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm a diehard Viking fan. I just brought my son. He's 14 months to his first Vikings game. He got to meet JJ. So, yes, I am, but also a Chiefs fan.
Okay. So that's funny. Because I'm a Bears fan, and every once in a while, I'm like, I got to stop hating on the Packers when my team gets bumped out. So, I'll root for the Chiefs. We got, you know, Chris Orr obviously plays for the Chiefs, former Badger. A buddy of mine, a college roommate of mine, is their equipment guy. And then, obviously, Melvin Gordon was there, too, and I've only heard great things about the organization. So, I was like, they're easy to root for. They're fun, and I'll enjoy watching them and rooting for them. But I wanted to ask, like, what do you think about Ben has switched? He was a Bears fan, and now he's Mr. Packer.
That's right, no comment. no comment, man. It's insane. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. If you're gonna do that, you at least gotta go Chiefs. You gotta go out of division.
Yeah.
Even the Vikings, the Lions would be acceptable, but that's.
I want to know. I wasn't going crazy on that one. No, he just acts like it's just a normal Monday, just switching over.
I don't get it, man.
Ben is true. I would never go Vikings to Packers or Vikings to Bears. I would never do that.
Well, and it's probably just funny to me because that's how he and I first like became friends and started chatting was about the Bears. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm just not a Bears fan anymore. I'm like, okay. Because Pablo is also a Bears fan. So,
which is why I was ready to recruit you if you were actually going to be a free agent. I know it's buy into the process. It's the Barry way, basically, of get your tickets now before it's too late. But I respect, especially if you got to meet Jay Jettas. That's pretty sick. I'm not going to lie.
Well, my son's name is Jet, so it was we got to see him. So I'm not normally that type, but I had to do it. But yeah. I can honestly tell you that if I was a free agent, the equivalent the Bears have about $50,000 worth of NIL money, in my opinion. So there's no chance that we're signing there. The Bears are terrible. No chance.
Fair enough. Well, maybe we'll talk off camera and see if we can convince you to join. What do you think, Jim?
I think he's pretty locked in. I remember press conferences. I don't know if Bo Ryan gave you a hard time or there was something where players are giving you a hard time on the podium about being a Vikings fan. I remember that. So Jordan had to take it all the way through college. He's not switching now.
But yeah, we were locked in though. We had John was a Vikings fan, Jared Bergen. We had five or six. Joe Kravenhoff was a Vikings fan, so we were rolling deep.
Well, that's because Minnesota was like the best state ever for Wisconsin basketball. it was huge.
Shout out.
Well, Jordan, talk about the outlook of this team too. I was firing this off. I saw the tweet where it was whichever, I can't remember which pub or which account it was, but either way, I was fired up when it said that this team is a fringe tournament team this upcoming season. Wisconsin basketball this year, man. 9 new guys, but still, I love the dogs that they got out there. What do you see in this team? What do you see and what are you hoping to see come this season?
Well, I think number one, the guard play is set to be outstanding, maybe better than it's been in, and again, respectfully, to all the guards that have come over the pat. We've had some good ones. Chucky obviously was great. Brad was great. But Nick Boyd and John Blackwell together, the competitive nature that is coming out of Madison from those two is a lot to be excited about. And then Austin Rapp and Will Garlock, the young kid from Middleton, I know they're really excited about him. They're just really well-rounded. You mix in Andrew Rohde, and then you go back to the culture of it. You have enough guys like Rohde, who's a Wisconsin kid. He's always wanted to be there. John Blackwell, who's got a ton of experience. Nolan, who's going to set to take another step. Like, they have size, they have ball handling. I think the biggest blow that they've got is maybe Kirk leaving, but I think he did a great job of setting the foundation, and you get a guy like Brad in there who can still get on the floor and push those guys as a pro about a week ago. It's lining up to be a really, really special team if they can put the pieces together.
And it seems like Greg Gard has found the secret sauce. And Nick Boyd's a guy I'm a fan of because I went to Fort Atlantic University, so I saw him. He was playing on that Final Four team. And then he went to San Diego State and made the tournament again, got to Sweet 16. So he's a guy that has been around and has been in the big moments. But it seems that Gard has found the secret sauce of finding like established veteran players to bring in. I mean, Jordan, could you imagine? John Tanjay turned 24 right after March Madness last year. I mean, to be able to play, and I'm like, it's smart they're doing it, but for me, that's such a smart thing to do, to get these guys who are 23 years old and then going against 18-year-olds. I mean, the basketball knowledge, the physicality, all that, I think Greg Gard has found something there of having a veteran team, even for that guys who are always Badgers.
100%. I mean, continuity is great. 9 new guys, right? But in terms of experience, to your point, the roster construction, that's the name of the game now. I mean, there's money involved. You got to play the salary cap game, if you will. You got the mix and match. And what they've been able to do with Rohde, who can play the 1 through 3, and he's 6'6". Nick Boyd, who can probably play the 1 or 2. Black John, JB could play the 1 or 2. And then you mix in a guy like Braden Carrington, who they went and got from Tulsa. He's Minnesota Mr. Basketball, played at Minnesota, got meaningful minutes at Minnesota. And then the youth with Will Garlock and Zach Kinzinger is another guy who I know they like a lot. So it's the pieces have been put together in a way that makes sense. And now it's just so you got to go play the games, of course. But they did a fantastic job. Coach Gard, Joe Kirk, and Mark Vandewettering. I got to give him a shout out. Newly appointed GM. That's my guy. So I'm really happy for him. But they did a tremendous job at roster construction on paper.
Jordan, what do you feel like is the biggest hurdle that this team faces this season? I know I'm super high on them, but again, it's the biggest hurdle. Every team has it. Every team's facing them different ways. The biggest hurdle in your eyes for Wisconsin basketball this year?
Oof, man, that's a really good question. Honestly, there's been so much excitement, it's hard to point to. I would say I think that the newness and the lack of continuity is something that is foreign to Coach Gard, to Wisconsin in general. I know they had how many new guys did they have last year? I can't recall,
last season, but this year I believe they do have 9 new guys on their roster.
9 new guys, and they still obviously JB and Nolan coming back. But when you get that, that turnover in today's climate as a player, the first thing you want to do is establish yourself, right? And you talk about that culture. There's that individualist nature that's naturally going to come out. And then just the culmination of can each individual get on the same page when you have so much talent to make it work in the right way. So I would say for me early on, that would be, let's see how they mesh in these first couple weeks, first Big Ten game, what have you. But like I said, not a ton on paper to worry about.
Yeah, that newness is going to be interesting, but I'm glad you brought him up too. John Blackwell and Nolan Winter, two guys that are returning. I got to sit down with John Blackwell and talk a little bit about that, what he learned from the NBA Combine, and it feels like it's almost that same approach in terms of he knows exactly what he needs to do, but he wants to just be more aggressive in terms of the shot-taking or the confidence in his shot-making abilities and just get after it. You know, what have you seen in John Blackwell in terms of how he's grown over these last few seasons and what's potentially ahead for him this year?
The most noticeable thing for me was his body transformation during the summer. He lost, it looked like he lost some weight or slimmed down, if you will. He mentioned he really was focused on that. And for him, I'll shoot him a text after a game. He does that. He'll rip baseline, reject the screen. He'll go pat the glass and lay the ball up, and I'll text him every time, like, dunk the ball. So I think for him, I think it's the game slowed down for him last year. I think having to play the point guard position a lot is only a value add. I think he's naturally a combo, so having Nick Boy would be helpful. But his ability to lead vocally, such a confident kid, but sometimes I think a little quiet. So I think his confidence going through the draft process, slimming down, I think he's just primed for a breakout season, if you want to call it that, after averaging 15 points. Yeah. But he's got a lot to be excited for. And then I think him and word has it, the way him and Nick were pushing each other in the summer, iron sharpens iron, and John is a tremendous competitor.
On that note, and I had a friend who's the play-by-play guy for FAU, and said Nick Boyd's that leader that got that dog in him, sort of point guard. But also, talking to Brust, and I'm sure you saw it last year, the Badgers, obviously Blackwell was great, but him being able not to have to be the lead guard now and have someone, Nick Boyd, who's the kind of a professional point guard, a true point guard. Jordan, that's how I would describe your play at Wisconsin, too. You were a point guard, and you were the captain of that offense. Gosser kept that going after you. And what does that do for a team to have a guy? And also, I think Nick's a great defender, and you obviously a good defender at your time here, too. So, like, what does having a player like that do for a basketball team to make sure that they can get into their sets easier or score easier or just make everyone's life easier, including a guy like Blackwell?
Yeah, to me, it's everything. I know the game is changing, and to me, if you look at the best teams in the NBA, college, like, you still have a point guard. It might not look like a 6'2 guy who's going to be, scores and assists when they need to, but to me, Chris Paul will always be a top three point guard because of your understanding of when, what needs to happen and when, whether you need to shoot, whether you need to pass, who needs to get the ball. It's something that can't be replaced, especially the way that Wisconsin plays now. It's more of a free-flowing or a Euro motion, I should say, where everybody gets to play in ball screens. So I think last year what hurt them at the end of the year was they kind of got into a swing nature at times where it became monotonous. And it was like, all right, we're going through the motions. We're not attacking this side ball screen, particularly against teams like Michigan State at the Breslin last year. So having someone like Nick Boyd get the ball, put it in the middle of the floor, call a ball screen for himself, or understand JB's rocking, I need to get JB the ball here and now. And not to say JB can't do that. That's just not his natural disposition. So it's a stabilizer. It's a catalyst. And I think for someone who I've heard as well as you, who's a competitor like Nick Boyd, is invaluable.
And we like to ask all our guests, obviously you play basketball, but I'm sure you had a chance to experience a jump around. Was there a jump around that stood out for your time as a student here?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was jump around when we beat number one Ohio State. It was Terrell Pryor, my junior year.
Yeah.
And we were jumping around, and we had a red and white scrimmage, I think, at the field house that day. We're jumping around. I twisted my ankle during the jump around. I was out for like 2-3 days after. I was nervous to tell Coach Ryan.
That's out of the bag now. Now we know.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think I'm good. Statute of limitations or something like that. But no, that was definitely one that stood out. And I heard you guys talking about football. They gotta get that thing turned around, because, that's sacrilegious to not have a rowdy Saturday in Madison, a rowdy 8 or 6 Saturdays in Madison.
Yeah, it's 2 weekends in a row where the student section isn't full at any point, Jordan. So it is. It's gotten wild how that's kind of fallen apart. But that's awesome. That's a great story. Actually, last week we had David Gilruth on. So the perfect timing that you brought up that one. So he was obviously a key member of that. So you were part of the glory days for basketball along with Brust and Decker, but you kind of started them up. And then football, that Gilruth era was there. So I'm the only one on the show old enough to remember them all. But
we were walking in the stadium when he returned that kickoff against Ohio State. It legit felt like the ground was moving. It was so loud. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
So you said that jump around. I've been in the press box. Now I go to more games as a fan, but I was in the press box for that jump around and plenty of them. That was the most the press box ever swayed in my life covering the team was that jump around. Like the whole thing. You could see it was like Jurassic Park where the water, you know, the dinosaur steps down and the water shakes. That everyone's water was shaking up there in the press box. It was impressive 100%. And it was awesome.
100%.
Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing you on the broadcast and hopefully get a chance to talk with you as the season goes along. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate you having me. I got Wisconsin my first two games, so come say what's up. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go.
Awesome, man. All right, good seeing you. We'll tell Ben you said hi.
Please do. Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Jordan Taylor. He's Pablo Iglesias for Riley Yauch. I am Jim Rutledge. And this has been The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels.